The reading from the Hebrew Bible is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
This is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available to them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news, and that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all."
The contemporary reading is taken from Why Did Jesus, Moses, the Buddha, and Muhammad Cross the Road? By Brian McLaren. Perhaps in this context, we rediscover Mary as the living icon of receptivity to and participation in the new gospel way of life. Perhaps we also rediscover the social, political, economic, and theological foment of Mary's Magnificat. And perhaps we retradition the idea of virgin birth as a decisive repudiation of the standard patriarchal systems of violent male dominance, evermore associating the saving power of God with the tender care of a mother's love. Such a celebration would give new meaning to the title Saviour as applied to Jesus, a fitting focal point for Christmas Eve. Jesus, the firstborn of a new generation of humanity, characterized by love, non-violence, and solidarity with all. Jesus comes to save humanity from what it has become.
For the word of Scripture, for the word of life, for the word within us,
we give thanks. Let us pray. On this night, may we have open hearts to receive what it is that we need this night. So may it be. Amen. You know those puzzles where you're shown a whole lot of dots of different colours and hidden within them is a word? Depending on whether you're colourblind or not, if you gaze at the picture and look sort of beyond it, you can see the hidden word. The red-green puzzle that I first encountered of this sort had the word onion hidden amongst the dots. Not a very exciting word, but mysteriously hidden within those other dots until I changed my focus. And on such a night as this, we need a changed focus. We could obsess over the details of the story. Was there a star? Was there a census? Who were those wise men? But on a night like this, the importance of the story is its symbolism and what it stands for. Remember the opening words to the Isaiah reading, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." This event is set at night time. The setting tells us the story's significance. If you have been following the news recently, you'll be aware of how black and dark the world has become recently. Weak leadership, strange military decisions, political skirmishings, racism, murder, unethical dealings, and narcissism are casting huge black shadows over our world. Worldwide, we are people walking in darkness, a darkness of greed and blinkeredness to what is good and true and lovely and just plain kind. The star in the story, whether it is fantasy, a supernova, alignment of planets, or something else, is that light bursting into the darkness. As we take our focus off external things of our life and look beyond that, deep within our psyche, within what has been traditionally called our soul, we see that light. Sometimes a small glimmer is all we see at first, and then a steady glow, then a radiance that we had not known before. The star has guided us to a place of new birth. Isaiah yearns for the time when a good leader will arise for his nation, one who brings peace through justice, not an avenging, territorially hungry emperor interested only in the peace that comes through vanquishing peoples and through victory over them. And as McLaren puts it in the contemporary reading, perhaps the virgin birth part of this fantastical story, imagined differently, reminds us maternal tenderness can be an attribute of God, something we all yearn for, whether our biological mothers were close and loving or whether they were absent and cold. Such a night as this tells us this story is about that part of us of which we are not yet fully conscious, but which waits us as a mystery to be revealed. Such a night as this tells us there is light which can be found, perhaps unexpectedly on a night like this. The virgin light cast into this narrative tells us maternal love is for all of us. And the shepherds are just ordinary people, people like you and like me, going about their business, lonely perhaps, isolated within their compartmentalised lives, but also a small group of colleagues dedicated to protecting their livelihood, the flock of sheep and goats grazing on sparse hillsides. In their lives on such a night as this, they are surrounded suddenly by glory, and it terrifies them. It may terrify us, the thought of falling into such a sacred, numinous moment where our usual way of seeing does not serve us well, or our usual rational way of thinking is not quite adequate enough to make sense, complete sense of what is happening. On such a night as this, you can believe in people again. For here in the darkness, the power and grace that society has hitherto only associated with an avenging almighty God is present through the sweetness and freshness of a baby's birth. On such a night as this, we can find that space within us, where we too can know the creativity and fruitfulness of new birth. On such a night as this, we give thanks for all that has been. We ask forgiveness for all we regret. We ask healing for wounds that were deeper than we thought. We ask energy for what needs to be done, and for wisdom to leave undone what needs to be left undone. On such a night like this, we can relax into the straw of this manger bed, and trustingly, like this much-loved baby, rest in the beauty of the power that is love. On such a night as this, and every night like this. So may it be. Amen.